Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack, and we'll see you on the couch.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of season two of The Boys here on Small Screen Couch Commentary. Let me just first off start by saying I still can't get over the ending to season one.
I know. So it's weird. So I actually, we recorded last week the ending of season one, and I couldn't wait to watch. I've seen the show already, and I couldn't wait to watch the first episode of season two.
It's crazy, you know, someone like yourself who has watched the show already as things were coming out is that excited to rewatch it, you know, and especially in this type of format, you know. I did wait. I watched it last night. Actually, so it was daylight savings time.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend, which I understand it affects a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Me, I just woke up, I guess, when my body would have woken up, so it was an hour earlier. So then I finished watching the other episode this morning.
Yeah, don't you spring forward, right? So you actually lose an hour of sleep, right?
I don't know what the saying is, but yes, we lost an hour last night.
It's spring forward. But yeah, so you lose an hour of sleep. I actually woke up at a decent hour this morning as well, and I finished watching the episodes that we're watching for the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty funny.
All right, so.
We're old. We just get up early.
So it happens.
Yeah.
So it happens. So what's were you snacking on?
I was real lazy and just had some Cheez-Its.
Okay.
Classic, though. Cheez-Its are great. Cheddar.
So I was going to say, I've never been a fan of regular Cheez-Its. White cheddar I get down with, though.
I love white cheddar everything. White cheddar cheese curls? Oh.
To die for.
To die for.
Me, I was a little bit fancier. We had some friends over yesterday, and Clarissa made this like cheesy, beefy salsa type dip. So I had some chips and dip.
Ooh.
This episode.
Baron, you've been fancy lately with your snacks.
You know, yeah, I have. Well, it's not because of me. It's because of my wife.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's what
she's the actual good cook here. I burned toast.
Burned toast.
Yeah. Like I made waffles this morning, burnt the hell out of one of them.
You know where I'm going to get into that because I'm confused.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Anyway, so what was your rating for this show right off the bat?
This was a little bit slower episode, but there were some really crazy moments still. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, still you're in the eights. I give it an 8.3.
Okay. I went 8.0.
Okay.
I went 8.0. I wasn't sure if they were going to start this season off the way they started season one off. Like, season one off the bat was crazy.
Wild.
And I know I gave it a lower rating than this episode, which doesn't make sense, but, you know, podcaster math.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, I wasn't sure. I was coming in this episode like, is it going to have crazy over-the-top stuff right off the bat? Is it going to have crazy over-the-top stuff throughout the episode? And to be honest, I don't know that it had any like crazy over-the-top stuff, but it sowed some good seeds.
It had a wild moment in it, though.
Yes.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Which I'm glad because, you know, it's The Boys. You need that.
Right. So let's just go ahead. Let's go through everything here.
Let's go.
And then just we'll have a little conversation.
Yeah, we'll converse.
So we get a little bit more of Mr. Edgar.
This episode. Finally, yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito, like phenomenal actor, been a big force in acting for a long, long time. But obviously came into his own and like was really at the forefront of people's minds from Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
but anytime he plays any sort of like villainous type character, one of the best to do it.
Kind of not a connection to Supernatural, all right, but
okay.
But he was in that Revolution show I told you Eric Kripke worked on.
Okay, all right,
and he was great in that.
See, the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, I'd probably like that show, and I need to go watch it.
It was really good, but
and it was only what, one season, one or two?
I think it was two.
Okay,
NBC screwed us. You know,
that's what happened.
That was in a time when NBC was real strict with their ratings. Like, if you weren't getting certain ratings, you weren't going to be on TV.
Well, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
But in any case, so he's kind of like meeting with the government at this point to smooth out details of whatever contract they're making with the government, and seeing, you know, what kind of concessions they will give them, what they can or can't do. But he's pretty much making them his bitch.
Dude, you thought Madeline could wheel and deal.
Oh, yeah. You thought Madeline was a gangster with the paperwork? Guys on another level.
Yeah, he's nuts, dude. And everything's so calm and confident as he's talking the whole time.
Yeah.
And my boy, I think it's Jim Beaver, Robert Singer. He has to agree with whatever he says.
Yeah.
That's
it. Well, and it's funny, too, because, you know, as he's doing all of this and I'm watching, I'm thinking, was there some point maybe where Madeline was kind of like his protege? Like she learned from him?
100%. You know? Yeah, because remember in that last season, too, it's like, now I want you to sit with me and like follow along to pretty much replace him.
Right.
So
right.
She probably did learn from him coming up. And now he's like, okay, you did a good job learning. I want you to be second in command and then take over before she got her eye holes burned out.
I think the biggest point of this whole situation, though, was he essentially admitted that the Supes have like a collateral damage, you know, situation going on. And he's like, all right, well, you know, what are we expecting collateral damage wise as far as casualties? And he's like, well, on paper, zero.
Yeah.
But in reality, 34%.
Nuts.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, in season one, at the very beginning, either people are woefully unaware of or just not even caring about the fact that there's, you know, people dying from what Supes do. And here they're just laying it out on the table and letting the government know, like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. Often.
Yeah. I would think
probably more than 30%.
In any industry that's like governed by, you know, the government, the auto industry, the food industry, whatever. If there were people dying at a rate of 34%, they would never exist.
Yeah, but never mind. We can't do that.
Moving right along, though, I was super happy then that we finally got some action with Black Noir.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot that you haven't like you were upset.
Throughout the whole first season, he's talked about here and there. You got one little bit of like his scuffle with
Kimiko,
with Frenchie, and then Kimiko, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So finally, we get, you know, some action with Black Noir as he's, you know, eliminating some terrorists, and he goes then and has a very short-lived fight with Nakib, the terrorist that kind of was the catalyst for. See what I did there? For getting Supes into the military and this whole situation. And Nakib, you know, does his whole thing where he fires up and blows up the whole building and thinks he got him. But then we cut back and we see Black Noir's pretty much unaffected. He's burnt.
Yeah.
And like it melts through part of his suit and like burns his skin off and whatever.
But
largely unaffected.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts his head off.
Yeah. And walks by his son with it.
Well, do we know that it was his son?
I'm going to assume it was. Okay. Yeah.
That whole scene was kind of funny, though. I do want to touch on that later
when
we go through stuff a little bit more. But after that, we see that they're having a funeral ceremony then for Translucent, who's been dead for a long, long time.
This is one of the funniest scenes in any show ever. And the only reason why I find it funny is there's a casket.
Yeah, the glass casket.
With nothing in it.
Yeah.
And they can just play it off like, well, it's translucent.
Right, right. And who's going to ask? Like, no one's going to be the wiser.
No.
They're like, oh, well, we can't see him.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk more about that's part two. But
yeah, that's a big scene.
It's a big scene in the show, but they have this fake funeral. And I want to talk about just how I felt about certain aspects of that. After that, though, then we see that Atrine, who last time we saw him, was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
He's laid up in a hospital bed at Vought headquarters. So we know now that he's not dead.
Nope. He's alive.
But he seems to be in some sort of like coma, some sort of catatonic state. And who knows how long it's been there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been days, if it's been weeks. They don't really make it clear. But we see that Starlight is checking in on him.
Yeah.
And essentially she's just making sure like, hey, is he going to, like, wake up here? I don't know.
Tell everybody my secrets.
Right. The last part of, like, kind of just the opening here, then, is we see the Deep. And he's at a bar just day drinking. And he's pissed off because, like, they're watching the ceremony for Translucent on TV, and there's one photo of like Homelander and Translucent, and they cropped out the deep, like
you see his shoulder.
Yeah. And he's just like, "This is my shoulder." And they're like, "What?" And he's like, "They fucking cut me out of the picture." He gets all mad.
He's like that hometown drunk at night. Yeah,
exactly. And then they kick him out of the bar. You know what? I kind of felt like he was like at like a Chili's or something, or like a Applebee's.
Something like that, definitely. Yeah. I forget. There was a name for the drink that made me laugh, too. I can't remember what it was called, but yeah.
So that's kind of just the opening of the show there. But oh no, you know what? No, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
We'll cut through then, beginning kind of like the middle portion of the show here. The boys, they are in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, before the end of season one, they were on the run. They're like wanted now because Vought, you know, got their way and they're wanted men. We see then Huey is kind of waking up and they're in some sort of hideout.
Yeah, he's sleeping in a janitor closet.
Right, yeah. Right. And we've got Huey, we've got Kimiko, we've got MM, and we've got Frenchie.
Yeah.
And they're with some other nefarious looking types.
Yeah.
You know, that are there. And
weapons dealers or drug dealers or something.
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But that's where they've been holed up because they don't want to get caught. Surprisingly, though, maybe unsurprisingly, they don't have Billy Butcher with them.
No Billy.
Last time we saw Billy was when he discovered that Becca was not dead.
Yeah.
And that she had been raising Homelander's son.
Yeah.
So I have some speculation as to why they were there, but we'll leave that for a little bit later. Homelander had probably one of the most disgusting scenes in the show, in my opinion.
Oh, the refrigerator?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Homelander, he is back in Madeline's office, which is kind of under construction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little mini fridge, and in the freezer portion of the mini fridge, he takes out a bottle of breast milk that had been chilling there, frozen. And he laser visions it and warms it up. And when he goes in and warms it up, he like smells it and he's just there. He's just like, and he like is getting aroused pretty much from it. And then he like goes to start sipping it. And then he doesn't. He like sticks his tongue in it and ugh.
Don't
get me wrong.
You don't like that?
Look, I'm going to say this because I know it's going to ruffle some feathers.
What?
I understand the importance of breast milk and the role that it plays.
Yeah, but a 40-year-old man shouldn't be drinking it and smelling it all sexually.
I'm just saying that I was disgusted by it because it's not something that's meant for adults.
No.
Not that I'm saying if that's something that you do as a... I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. I'll just leave it at that.
Trying to yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
Just saying.
Gotcha.
But important part here, we now see PR lady's back.
Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley came
PR
back.
Lady.
And she is pretty much the new Madeline.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Homelander brought her back pretty much to just be his puppet.
Yeah.
Whereas before Madeline had him as his puppet, now the roles are reversed. He's the puppeteer. And Ashley's a puppet.
Yeah.
And we'll get a little bit more into that because there was a great scene with them right after that.
Yeah, I agree.
But then, let's see, where did we go after that? Oh, I want to skip over a couple parts here just because I want to talk about them a little bit later.
Yeah.
The next most important part here that happened is the boys, they're realizing, okay, like we can't really stay in hiding forever, but we also kind of want to figure out what we can do to kind of keep the mission going in a way. I don't know. And Huey gets a bright idea of, well, let's go and try and talk with Susan Rayner.
Yeah.
And
things go weird.
Things go weird.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. I don't want to reveal too much because there's some other in-depth things that surround why they go there that I want to get into. Towards the end of the episode, we see then that Homelander goes to confront Mr. Edgar. And they have a
dick swinging contest.
They do 100%.
And Edgar's got to hang a D, bro.
I mean, well, it's funny because all throughout last season, I'm thinking to myself, why isn't Homelander just going and like telling these people, I can do whatever I want. I can, you know, kill you all if I wanted to. I can make this whole corporation my bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially tries to go and do that, gets shut down.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about my theory as to why. After that, we see Starlight and Huey are still obviously been in contact throughout this whole situation. They have an interaction earlier in the episode, which we'll get into. But they now have a plot where they're going to try again to expose Vought by getting some Compound V. I didn't really like this whole scenario because it's like, okay, they already kind of tried this. It pretty much blew up in their faces. Why are they trying this again? Maybe there's a specific reason. Not sure. And then the episode ends because of the situation that the boys tried to make happen. Obviously didn't work out, which we'll get into. And they get saved by none other than Billy Butcher.
Good old Billy Butcher.
Comes back into the picture.
Solid entrance to the end of the episode.
And he lets him know.
You need
Daddy's
me.
Here.
Yeah, he does say Daddy's here.
So I want to go a little bit further into the different parts of the episode here. And I want to start off with the funeral, because that was probably one of the bigger parts of the episode. The funeral for Translucent,
mm-hmm.
they make it this big production, which, you know, not surprising. That's what would happen with Vought.
Yeah.
But they have, like, Translucent's kids. Does he have two kids, I think it is?
Yeah, I know he definitely has one.
Yeah, they're in the front row. Homelander's kind of being, like, the minister in this ceremony. He gives this whole big speech. Oh, he was one of my best friends. He, you know, gets all verklempt, and he's emotional, which obviously is just hamming it up for the whole, you know, look situation.
But he's still using it to do what he wants to do. He's not really doing it for Translucent.
No,
he's saying, like, he said to me, you get those supervillains.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he's essentially using this as a way to push their agenda, mm-hmm. of having the supes in the military because of the fact that there are supervillains, which he makes very clear. He doesn't use super terrorists.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah.
But then probably my favorite part of this whole scene is the song that Starlight
sings. The song is hilarious.
It is so hilarious. And you know what? It's actually not a bad song. Like, is this something I'm going to, like, listen to over and over? No. But I thought it was funny. And Starlight, if it's actually her, I don't think it is. We'll have to maybe look into that.
Yeah.
But whoever was singing it, decent singer.
Decent singer. I just love the lyrics. It's all about how he's invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole front that they put on is that Translucent was on a secret mission.
Yes.
To go fight a super villain.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was like a Mexican drug lord type dude who was nicknamed El Diablo.
Yeah.
Which is like, how much more on the nose could
be? I know.
You know.
El Diablo.
But yeah, he pretty much vows, you know, revenge against supervillains. And the whole thing was just a hilarious production. And from the public's point of view, you know, everything is just as usual. I'm wondering here, though, it makes me think. So in the first episode, we see, you know, they retired Lamplighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in Starlight. How often is the Seven rotating? Because we don't really get a sense of how long the Seven were the Seven in the first episode with, you know, the Deep, Black Noir, A-Train, Lamplighter, Maeve, Homelander, and who am I missing?
Who are you missing?
I don't know.
We'll think about
brain
it.
Brain fart.
Yeah.
But anyway, we don't get a sense of how long they were the Seven before Lamplighter retired.
Yeah.
So it's like, prior to that, how often were they rotating people in the Seven? Obviously, Homelander's been there a while.
Maeve's been there a while. Black Noir's probably been there a
Black
bit.
Black Noir, yep. But then I feel like the Deep probably wasn't there for that long. Well, no, I lied. He had to have been there for a while because he was there at the Christmas party 8 years prior.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been there
That's
for a while.
That's probably when he started, to be honest.
Right.
So I would assume Translucent's been there.
A-Train's probably a little bit newer.
Yeah.
Translucent was probably... Oh, Translucent. That's who we were missing.
That's who we were missing because he's, you know, he's in bits and pieces.
But yeah, so like... Were the Seven for 8 years? Like, when was the Deep the newest member? and then they were...
I bet you, you know
they
what?
They didn't have anybody rotate in or out for 8 years. Because if that's the case, now we've had a couple new... We've had three people essentially go out of the seven and come back in.
Yeah.
Translucent's dead, Lamplighter retired, and the Deep was banished.
Yeah, this is basically the Avengers after Endgame.
Pretty much.
You know?
Pretty much. So a lot has changed here then.
Yes.
And
in a very short period of time,
right,
because of the boys.
Right.
Other
right
than Lamplighter. But,
of
well,
course.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I want to move on from that, but that was a big portion of the opening.
I would like to also talk about outside of the funeral. You have still this show put on from Homelander and Starlight. Like, they're buddies. They're talking about how she's like how
yes
great he has been through
I
this.
Forgot about that.
And like how she's now putting on the show again of like she's starting to put on that front that Vault wants her to put on.
Right.
Even though she's acting a certain way behind the scenes, she's now, instead of talking about stuff, she's
full in.
He's great. Also, I love it's hilarious. There's a guy crying in the crowd, and Homelander gives him a big hug and
yeah
stuff. It's hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, there's a big front being put on, and like it was really weird and awkward because you know who Starlight really is and how she's been speaking up lately. So she's saving her ass, is what she's doing.
I'm glad you reminded me of that though, because
what I'm here for.
When I'm watching the episode and I'm seeing this happening, they're, you know, walking hand in hand. Two things I thought about. One, is she, and we find out later, you know, she's still working with the boys pretty much. But at that point, I'm like, is she in there now because she's a villain now?
Mm-hmm.
Or was she just putting on the front and like still working? We see that she's still working with the boys. So after that, I was
relieved.
I
think for a new viewer, you probably thought that. Yeah.
Right. But the other thing, too, is before it was always Homelander and Maeve.
Yes.
And now it's Homelander and Starlight.
Yep.
So is Maeve being replaced? Is it kind of the situation where it's like, okay, Maeve, you're getting older. You're less marketable. We have a newer, younger lady to kind of be next to our leading man.
Who has this like girl power thing she brought up. And now she's getting, her numbers have been rising. If you pay attention to this episode, and I think a few on, you'll see more billboards for Starlight. She's now becoming the face of the Seven. Like, even this episode, they're walking outside of, I think she's walking outside of Vought, and it's her on a big, like, LCD screen outside of Vought.
There, it's an ad for Citizen Starlight, which I think is like a, I don't know if it's a movie or a show, where she's essentially like a superhero that helps the police, I think.
I think so, yeah. But yeah, basically, she's just becoming the face of Vault. Like, everything is starting to become Starlight. Obviously, Homelander's Homelander, but...
Right. Homelander will always be number one. He's always going to be the best boy.
Yeah.
But now,
he's
Starlight
the goodest
is,
boy.
Is number two.
Yeah.
Or seemingly.
That's what it looks like now.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because everybody else is falling off. Maeve just kind of sits back and does whatever. Black Noir also is... He doesn't talk. He's just in the shadows, you know?
Right. Right. Now, we touched on it earlier, but Starlight is checking in after this all goes down on A-Train, and he's in this coma, and as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, it probably would have been better for them to just let him die.
100%.
Because I understand Huey, being Huey, wanted to try and save him. Huey sees himself and, for the most part, is a good guy, but they really screwed them.
That was so dumb.
You know, it's like... We don't really know the fate of A-Train in the finale last season, or those last two episodes. I don't remember when it happened, but it's such a loose end for them. It's like, why even allow that to happen? Because let's say he comes out of this coma, is he just gonna blab? You know, and it's like, that was stupid.
Yeah, not very.
So
bright.
I understand why Starlight's checking in on him, because she wants to be there. Like, if he wakes up, to be like, okay, I either have to deal with this or something, you know, so not the smartest idea on their part.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it allows the show to go on.
Yeah. Now, I do want to get deeper into what happened with the Deep here, because he's kind of taking on, at least in my opinion, a little bit of a more meaningful role here. Not meaningful as far as what he's doing, but like he's getting more screen time. You know, so obviously we mentioned he's at a bar, he's drunk, and he's just in shambles. At the end of last season, we saw him. He got banished to Sandusky, Ohio, which is a place that has virtually no crime.
Shout out to our friend Sturba, who lives. No, it is a real place.
Yes. I feel like, and didn't Sturba say he lived in Ohio for a bit?
I think he might have, but he definitely visited.
Visited a lot.
And he also mentioned that's where Tommy Boy was Sandusky, Ohio, which after saying it, you know, I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
We should have known that.
We're dumb.
Yeah.
Happens.
Fat guy in a little coat. All right, go ahead.
So he's there and he gets drunk. But the biggest thing of why home, or not home, what the biggest reason why the Deep is there, aside from being banished, is like his now, his priority other than fighting crime is promoting this water park that's yeah, there.
I forgot about this park.
Yeah.
This is where, how he ends up where he is. Yeah.
So he's at this water park, or well, I should say we cut to a scene where they're at the water park and there's kids just running away screaming. And we hear like police sirens going off and we come over and the police are like approaching the park and we see that the Deep is just kind of in a drunken stupor. He's sitting on top of like this water jungle gym type area, just going nuts.
Yeah.
And the police just arrest him then, obviously.
Yeah.
So he ends up in a I don't know if it's just a drunk tank or just a holding cell or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that I've been there.
Don't even know what that is.
No. But he's there and I forget what the officer says to him. But essentially, he makes bail, and he's kind of confused because he's thinking, "Well,
who would have
bailed me out? I don't have any friends anymore." And we see then that he gets bailed out by another soup, and it's this guy who is—I don't want to say he's a dupe of Hawkeye because he's not. If anything, I'm saying he's more of a dupe of like a Green Arrow type guy.
You think so? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and even then, like I forget his name, but there was a guy in Green Arrow who had like a red suit. But it's funny because the Deep, he goes, "Hey, I know you. You're Ravenclaw or something yeah, like that." And he goes, "No, man. We've met countless times at VotCon. I'm Eagle the Archer."
Yeah. Is that his name? It was Eagle the Archer.
I believe so.
Yeah, it is Eagle the Archer. Good job.
Yeah. And so he's like, "Well, why'd you bail me out?" And he's like, "Even superheroes need a hand sometimes."
Want a Fresca?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that was weak. he gives him a Fresca. Yeah, once.
Like, when was the last time you had a Fresca?
I have no idea.
1999.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Fresca is a grapefruit-flavored soda.
It's a grape. Oh, yeah.
Grew up in the 90s, went away, had a resurgence then in like the late 2000s, maybe early 2010s, and I guess it's still around. When I was a kid, I thought it was great. Drinking it, I had one when it like came back years ago. It's awful.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
But first off, who just carries Fresca around? And then second off, he hands it to him and he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I would like a Fresca." And I'm just like, who just weirded me out?
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Because Fresca shows up a lot here.
Well, so he gets bailed out by this guy, and he, you know, I guess now that's his buddy. I think he's also in Ohio. I think he's from Cleveland.
Yes.
So he's another one that's like kind of there.
He's assigned to Cleveland. Yeah,
we don't know if he was there because he's banished or that's just where he was because his numbers weren't great or whatever, but that's where he's at. So I'm interested to see here then, is Ohio kind of just like the place where careers go to die as a superhero?
Yeah, I don't know. I will say you're spot on. The Deep has, his story is way more important this season now. So keep an eye, if you're watching along like Alex is, keep an eye on the Deep's side story. It kind of, it is important.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Nice. So I want to then go into the boys that are in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of things. One, we finally see Cherie's back in the picture.
Shaddy. I love Shaddy.
She doesn't have any lines or anything. They literally just show that she's there, but then that's it.
Yeah, and still around.
The one thing I want to just touch on quick, because we didn't actually ever talk about it in the episode when it happened. I think it was one of the ones kind of towards the middle of last season. The last time we actually see Cherie, Frenchie had met up with her like at a restaurant or something. And we should have gone over it. We didn't. It happens. But they had met up at a restaurant, and I forget they were exchanging information, or maybe she was giving him supplies or something.
The smoke bomb to get.
That's what it was.
Kimiko to get knocked out.
Yes.
She grabs Frenchie by the balls.
Yeah. So it's like at that point, I'm thinking that they're more than just like associates or friends, that they maybe are kind of lovers.
They're like an open relationship, I think.
But it just kind of, that whole storyline just went to the wayside. And I don't think we ever get the sense necessarily that Frenchie and Kimiko are romantically involved, but it seems like it's getting pushed in that direction.
Frenchie definitely feels for her right. That way. So Kimiko, who knows?
I don't know. I kind of don't like that they left that loose end with Cherie.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes back into play later, but...
Honestly, I don't remember. But Cherie, she's just awesome to have around.
Yeah. Cool character. I am hoping we get more of her later, either in this season or 3 or maybe 4 when it comes out later.
Or 5.
I'm sure it's going to get that far.
Yeah.
It's probably one of Amazon's number one shows, if not the number one show.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But yeah, so they're in this hiding place with... these drug dealer, arms dealer type dudes. And we pretty much find out that these are guys that Frenchie knew.
So. Oh, yeah. It's Frenchie's associates.
And it's funny. I want to quick go over the scene where we finally see Huey, because they kind of show a parallel between Huey's life now and Starlight's life now.
She's got this like penthouse and he's in the janitor's closet.
Well, yeah. So it's funny. They do kind of like a shot for shot comparison, and they're living their routine that they're going through very similar, but it's on two ends of the spectrum. So it's like they show Huey waking up and then they show him looking in the mirror and he's just kind of displeased with himself.
He's smelling his clothes to make sure they're clean.
Right, right. They show Starlight. She's in the mirror. She's displeased with herself, but she's like, going through and taking off her makeup, removing her wig that she has, which, I mean, obviously you can see when she's Starlight for Vought and she's wearing the skimpy, you know, suit and whatever, she's got much longer hair, it's curled up, so she's removing that. And so then they kind of cut back and Huey's kind of going through his place and it's a dump. And like you said, she's in this nice, luscious penthouse. And so it's like, their living situations are very much on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but how they're feeling is very much the same.
Yeah.
Kind of down in the dumps, kind of depressed, kind of not really knowing what's going on. And you can see it in their faces. Their expressions are the same as they go back and forth, you know, from one cut to the other. So that was just kind of a cool little touch that they did there.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. But then, yeah, then they meet up. They're both getting ready to meet up with each other.
Right.
Huey leaving, even when they leave, so nobody wants him to leave.
Yeah, they don't want...
Frenchie gives him a weird look.
MM's like,
and MM's, where are you going? He's like, I'm getting that Perel you like.
Yeah, which, first off, what, like, I don't know why he just needs Purell.
Because it's MM, bro.
I guess, but it's funny. He's like, make sure you get that shit with the aloe. Like, oh, yeah, the aloe. Yeah, I'll get that for you.
MM just gets better and better every episode, to be honest.
I agree. He's definitely grown on me a little bit more. I know you've made it very clear in the past that Frenchie's your number one guy.
Yeah. But MM...
MM's
close cool second too. For me.
I kind of almost like MM better than Frenchie personally.
Yeah. But. And I can't blame it because MM's awesome. It's hard to pick a favorite character in this show.
Yeah.
But anyway, Huey goes out. They say, okay, cool, you can go because you're getting the Purell. And he basically meets Annie in the subway. And they're kind of a conversation, like making sure, hey, did you break the chip for your cell phone so they can't track it? All this kind of stuff.
Right.
But they're basically planning out what they think they should do to still get Vought, which, like you said before, is to get another thing, a Compound V, I guess.
Well, so that's, they don't plan that until I think a little bit later. Essentially, what they're meeting here is, because there's a scene here that I want to touch on. While they're there, Huey hands her a piece of paper, and it's someone that has, like, I think it's like a profile of this soup, and he's just like, oh yeah, I know this guy, I knew him from my church camp, you know, superhero type things. And they don't exactly say what they're gonna do, but Huey's like basically telling her, like, hey, are you okay with this? And she's like, do I really have a choice here?
Yeah.
But it's funny because at this point, you see Huey is kind of focused on the fact that they're sitting next to each other in the subway and like their legs are touching.
Yeah.
Huey's looking down and he's like, okay. And then he...
For that, for the whole conversation, their legs are touching, right?
Right.
They're having this conversation.
Right.
This guy is something she needs to go talk to for the Compound V. But right. that's whatever. But then Huey brings up, oh, you and this other superhero that you had at the award show or whatever.
Right.
And all of a sudden, then her knee gets away from him.
Right. And he notices like, and he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can obviously tell Huey is still very much liking her. And she's kind of more lukewarm on the situation, or maybe cold, because essentially all last season, he's been lying to her. She's still upset with him to a degree.
But they're working together.
Right.
I think lukewarm is a good way to put it, because, I mean, she even, the fact that she pulled her leg away from him means that she had it there on purpose. Like, she kind of likes.
Maybe.
They like the each other still and the closeness of them both. But she obviously has this feeling like, well, you did lie. And she tells him, like, he didn't lie to me for a whole year or something like that, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, so he kind of pushes her away by getting jealous of this guy.
And so when they start this whole plan, you don't know what role this soup is going to be playing. But you find out a little bit later then, why this guy is important to get the Compound V. Then essentially after that is when we get to the point where Homelander is in Madeline's office, right? Ashley's back in the picture. He brought her back on after she got fired by Madeline for everything that happened with Starlight and, you know, everything. Essentially, she got fired because of Starlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that's going to happen. Like, that's going to come to a head at some point.
Probably.
I have to think it's going to. But Ashley is excited because she's taking over Madeline's office and yada, yada. And she goes to Homeland. She goes, hey, you know what? I actually have a replacement for someone on the Seven. I'm really excited for them. Do you want to meet them? And Homelander's like, do I ever?
So man makes Ashley super excited. Like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. So they go and they have kind of like a training facility inside Vought there. And they see this guy who's doing all these acrobatics. He's throwing knives and stuff. And, you know, he's just kind of showing them what he's got. And we find out that this guy's name is...
We're doing terrible with names today, guys. We're doing terrible.
No. Blind Spot.
Blind Spot. Blind Spot. He's basically Daredevil.
Yeah. Carbon copy, pretty much, of Daredevil. He's blind, but he can hear everything. And that, I guess, acts as his sonar and whatever. And so Homelander and Ashley are on the side talking. She's telling him about this guy, and he's just like, oh, man, that's impressive. You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he kind of talks a little bit of shit, a little bit, right? Then the dude comes over, and he's like, sir, I'm such a big fan.
Such
an honor to meet you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Homelander's like, you know what? You went through that whole place and you can't see anything? He's like, yes, but I can hear. And he's, well, no, that's what happened. He goes, he before Homelander says anything to him, he says, Homelander, so nice to meet you. And he's like,
you can tell
how'd
me?
You know it was me? And he's like, I can't see, but I could hear you.
Yeah, and things, he's talking about, you know, senses rise when you can't see it, when one sense is gone. But Homelander's all like, all the stuff you went through, man, that's such a crazy thing. That's so great to see you overcoming your blindness to still be a superhero.
Right.
So Homelander seems like, at first, like...
Yeah, he seems like he's like, okay, like...
Like, real genuine about
this, it. This could be cool. This could work out. But then Homelander's like, you know what, though? I just have one question. What happens if... And they just... Boom! And he smacks both of his ears so hard that he just doubles over, blood gushing out of his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, now you're just another useless blind guy, which totally fucked up.
Yeah. Not even the worst thing. He looks over at Ashley. He's like telling her, like, don't make a call without me.
Yeah.
But he says, why would I want a cripple on my team? And I'm like,
super fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, God dang.
But he essentially, he tells Ashley, he's like, nobody makes a call on who is in the Seven except for me.
Yeah.
Which I'm thinking, okay, like Homelander's running shit now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And he even tells Ashley, you're hired because of me.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do what I say.
Yeah, he pretty much makes it known now that he, at least in their relationship, the roles are reversed. It's not like it wasn't Madeline. You're my bitch now. You do what I say when I say it.
Yep.
We clearly see then after that that Homelander's still a bitch. We'll get into that.
Somebody's bitch.
Correct. Correct. So I want to jump back then to the Deep, because he gets a little more screen time here. So he's with his new buddy, Eagle, right? And Eagle's introducing him to this lady who's like a therapist, mm-hmm. essentially. But I think he like says she's not a therapist. I forget exactly what term. Oh, he says, oh, she's not like my therapist. She's like my teacher.
Yeah.
And so they're just like talking and she's like, why do you think you're in the situation you're in right now? And he's like, oh, I got drunk and this and whatever. She's like, no, like the you got kicked out. I mean, she doesn't mention this, but she's alluding to like you got kicked out at 7. You're here in Sandusky. Like, why do you think you're here? And so she's like trying to unravel things for him so that she can see, you know, if he can understand that he's the one who put himself in this situation.
Right.
And he's just not having it. He's like, I don't need this bullshit. Like, I'm out of here.
And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he just gets real mad and is confused too.
Right, right. And he's starting to walk out and she's just basically like, you know, I can help you. He's like, you can't help me with anything. And she's like, I can help you get back in the 7. And I think like that's essentially all the Deep wants to do is just to get back into the 7.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in Sandusky anymore. He thought he was going to get called back up, which clearly didn't happen.
Nope.
So that piques his interest then, you know, as far as, okay, well, maybe I'll at least hear what this lady has to say. Let's jump back to the boys now, though. So MM is upset because he can't see his family. He can't see his wife. He can't see his daughter. And Huey and Frenchie and MM, they're kind of arguing a bit because they don't know what to do next. And Huey's kind of trying to prop himself up as like their new leader.
He's trying to lead,
so to speak.
But they don't trust him to lead. He's pissing MM off because he keeps trying to come up with an idea. And MM was like, at one point, MM gets pissed at him.
Oh, yeah.
And gets in his face. And he's like, either I want to see my family or keep them safe.
Right.
You know, and at one point in the episode, they're talking about escaping, getting passports and like getting out of the country.
Right.
And Huey's like, no, we can still do this. And I think he even brings up Starlight. And MM's just like, we're not getting down that road again.
Yeah. He asks, he says, well, we can contact Annie. Maybe she can help. And MM's not having it. The funny thing is, Huey, I shouldn't say funny. It's kind of sad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Huey basically tells them, like, look, like, I don't have anything anymore. Like, I don't have Robin. I don't have a job anymore. I don't have my dad. This is all I've got. This, you know, the boys is all I have. So it's not like I really have anything else going on. I need to try and finish what we started here. So this is where they come up with a plan then to try and talk to Susan Rayner, right? Mm-hmm. But
they come up with that plan because
right.
One of the drug dealers, gun dealers comes back and his arm is just messed up. Right. You can't figure out what's being said. You can't understand.
It's all in French and they don't give us any subtitles.
No. And like they're trying to have it like translated by Frenchie, but it's like it's a mess. It's very like if you're in that room, you're probably very anxious because there's just so much going right. on.
One of the things I do want to point out that we didn't touch on earlier, MM is kind of acting as their like
medic.
First aid type dude.
Yeah. And that's kind of how he's paying his stay there is he can take care because he was a field medic.
Right. Right. So they bring this dude in. His arm is broken. His skin's falling off. The bones are popping out. And MM's just like, I can't do anything for this guy. Like,
you got to take him to the hospital.
Yeah. Like, I can do minor stuff, but you know, this guy's going to die if you don't get him some medical attention. They try and figure out, like, why this guy is so injured. And that's when Frenchie's talking to one of the other French dudes. Eventually, they get to a point where they go and see some surveillance footage.
Of where, because I guess it was something that happened at where they usually get their shipments of the guns.
Right.
Surveillance footage of a dock. And people are just walking out. It's fine.
Like, yeah, it's a crowd of people.
Now they're pissed off because it's not just.
It's not just drugs.
It's human trafficking.
Yeah, they're doing human trafficking. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Frenchie's pissed off, but it's kind of funny because he goes, man, I told them I was only okay with them doing guns and cocaine and fentanyl. It's like, okay, it's like getting worse and worse. He's like, but the human trafficking, like, that's not cool.
With,
like,
his accent,
that's
too.
Where you draw the line.
The whole conversation with his accent is hilarious. Yeah, so he's kind of mad about that. Everybody's pissed off at Frenchie then. Like,
right.
MM's like, what the fuck, dude? And there's one guy who kind of gets off, and he's looking around, and he kind of gets out of line. Somebody starts yelling at him.
Right.
This dude had telekinetic powers. He lifts the boat up.
Yeah, yeah. And it seemed like pretty easily, too.
Yeah. He lifts the boat up and throws it. And so that's obviously how the guy's arm got crushed. So this super terrorist or super villain is pretty strong.
Yeah.
And now he's in New York.
Right, right. And they don't really know what this dude is doing here, aside from the fact that he's obviously from somewhere outside of the US. He's a soup. They're afraid then that this is going to cause more issues for them. But they kind of then want to use this then
to help themselves out.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's when they set up this meet with Susan Rayner. And they essentially are saying, okay, well, MM wants to be able to see his family, or at the very least know that they're safer, you know, do something. And Susan's reluctantly meeting with them. It seems like she didn't really want to be there. She doesn't want to be there because, one, if she's caught, you know,
with one of the fugitives, yeah.
Right. Then it's like, okay, well, that's her ass. But then they pretty much tell her, like, okay, you know, there's this terrorist situation going on now. One of the soup terrorists is on American soil. Like, there's got to be a way we can work something out here. And she pretty much is like, okay, well, I'm putting some pieces to the puzzle together.
And she's like, there was a missing piece. I guess this is it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So she's there and telling them, you know, that... telling them that, you know, if this is what's going to help out with my situation, then, you know, maybe we could work something out.
Yeah, because even then Huey's like, Ms. Rayner, Mrs. Rayner or whatever, can you help MMC his family if we get this done? Like, he even steps in and, like, really tries to be, like, the leader that Billy should have been.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But then Huey notices as they're, like, kind of ending the meeting that her nose is bleeding. And she, like, goes and wipes the blood off her nose, and boom, head just completely.
She's missing
exploded.
A big piece of her puzzle.
Yeah, which at first I was like, was it like a sniper or something with like a 50 cal that just blew her head off?
Who knows?
Once again, Huey's covered in guts and blood
and brains.
Right, right. And they and they run back into the van that they were in, and you know, they just GTFO.
They try to duck and cover because they think the same thing you're thinking.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a sniper somewhere or something.
Right. So yeah. They're getting out of there. They don't know what's going on, but the whole situation, it kind of sucks because they went there to try and find a way to, like, make these next steps to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, and it literally just blew up in their faces.
It literally.
Yeah.
That was a good
yeah.
one. Good job.
I mean, I'd have a way with words.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're kind of back at square one now.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to be making some, you know, steps towards a next step, but not happening.
Yeah.
This is where we start coming towards the end of the episode here, and this is where Homelander finds out he's not actually running shit.
No.
This is where he has the meet with Mr. Edgar. So he goes into... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Am I crazy? Am I missing something here?
Are you crazy? Yes. Is it because you're missing something? I don't know.
Did they replace the superhero? Like, not Blind Spot? Or is that... Am I skipping an episode?
You're skipping an episode, maybe.
I don't think I am.
I don't know.
I'm definitely not. So, all right, I got to rewind it. I'm definitely not skipping an episode. I know I'm not. So later in the episode,
yes, sorry,
Maeve and
my bad.
Homelander are doing a commercial shoot, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, this other superhero is doing an Instagram live, coming in talking about, oh, it's so great to finally be here. I'm excited to be part of the Seven. Da 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 da.
Yeah,
and she's talking about blah blah. And she goes, also, have you noticed that soldier they're doing the commercial with? That was also Captain Number One in this movie. Like, pointing out it's an actor and how kind of fake it kind of is. And Homelander and Maeve see her, and she comes, hey, it's so great, I was told to come meet you guys, you know, because I'm part of the Seven now.
Right.
I'm Stormfront. And
I completely forgot about that. That's my
fault. Yeah. Yes, you know, that's why I'm here. You know, I just got to stop thinking I'm crazy.
You're not. I mean, you are.
I am, but that's not why.
Yeah.
So anyway, Homelander is pissed. Like, wait, this is happening? And Ashley's like, I didn't even know this was happening. Like, telling Homelander, like, I have no idea. No, she's not. She's not part of the Seven. Da, 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 da.
Right.
And she's like, no, Mr. Eggers sent me down here. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, higher ups are like, we're making the call.
Right. That's why he went to go see Mr. Edgar. He's like, you're right.
How
I forgot.
How dare you, Mr. Edgar?
I do want to touch on that, though, because when she was rolling into the set and she's doing this Instagram live and whatever, I didn't know what was going on at first. And I'm thinking, like, okay, who is this girl just like exposing this right in front of them? And I'm thinking, like, Homelander's probably just going to snap your neck right now.
Yeah.
And why he didn't, I don't know. But there's one part, it's funny, where she lets them know that she's part of the Seven. And she's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Edgar approved this, whatever. And she's like on the Instagram live.
In the chat.
Yes, yes. The one part of the chat, somebody says, yo, homeboy is shook.
Yeah. I would love to go back and read the whole chat because one person's like, all the way up from Mr. Edgar, oh, damn, she must know somebody. And like, there's all these funny comments. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, that's then why Homelander went to go see Mr. Edgar.
Yeah.
To basically be like, hey, like, why did you think you could approve her being in the Seven without me? And he basically lets her know, like, when Madeline was running things, no one got into the Seven without my say-so.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is where the dick swinging contest comes into play here.
Yeah.
And Homelander basically is just like, you know, I do what I want, how I want, when I want. And Mr. Edgar, totally cool, calm, collected. He says, do you know the history of Mr. Vaught? And he's like, what?
I've only read his autobiography like 7 times, Mr. Edgar.
And he's like, well, that's just like what we let the public know. And you know what's funny? When he was going into this, I immediately knew where he was going, but I didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
Because I had my suspicions in the beginning of the first season. But he essentially reveals that Mr. Vaught, I forget his first name. He says his first name, but we're just going to call him Mr. Vaught. Mr. Vaught, was a scientist in Germany who was doing experiments or whatever and got recruited by the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, got recruited by America when, you know, shit was going south.
Same way some scientists help us with the space race from Nazi Germany.
Right. Yep. And it's funny because they even touch on like Oppenheimer and his bomb and whatever. And they're basically like, you know, this was the other thing that was going on.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think, I shouldn't say it's crazy. It's not a stretch to think, okay, well, this whole evil corporation is something that could have easily come from Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But so they're going through and Mr. Edgar's basically like laying the law down.
Yeah.
Letting him know, I run this company. I'm the one who has the say-sos here. And just listing things out. And by the end of the conversation, Homelander's just like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, he basically goes, we're not a superhero company. We're a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
You're not an asset that I really care about that much.
Right. He lets him know you're not the number one asset. Compound V is the number one asset. And he says to him, you know, your little plan of creating these supervillains all around the world and having A-Train run stuff around the world has created a mess that now we're doing our best to clean up.
Yeah.
So while to Homelander and Madeline, when she was still alive, while they thought that was a good idea and a great success, Mr. Edgar does not think so.
Right.
Because the formula now for Compound V is out there. And if somebody, you know,
backwards engineers it. Yeah.
Then they've got the code to their number one asset.
Yep.
So, there's that. That's pretty much getting towards the end of the episode. We get back to the boys. They realize they're screwed.
Yeah.
Because they're washing Susan Rayner's blood and guts all over off of them and whatever. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And eventually here then, somebody comes down the steps.
That's good old Billy Butcher.
Billy Butcher.
And Frenchie called him. I do want to have one quick thing. It's a bit of a side story that goes into like the main story. The person that Annie got the paper for is somebody who works at Vaught.
Right.
He is a hero whose power is basically can grow anything back. So she blackmails him by going and finds him at a site where a guy pretty much gets off by cutting off limbs. So people pay him to cut off his limbs. And so he's getting his arm cut off, and it costs like $1,000, whatever.
Well, no, he says, he goes, it's 400. Or he says, what are you, a leg or an arm guy? And he's like, arm. He's like, $400. And he gives him this machete, and he's just like, should I like chop it or should I saw it? He's like, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
And he starts cutting his arm off.
This guy's getting off to it.
Yeah. And then he grows back his arm, and he's like, yo, for another $1,000, I'll let you cut my dick off.
The guy goes, where's an ATM?
ATM?
So anyway, she blackmails him. She meets him up. They know each other. But she says, hey, you work in the labs at Vault. I have this video of you making people
doing
pay
this
you.
This little side hustle, yeah.
And
I'll put this online.
I'll put this on Twitter. If you don't give me Compound V, he's like, what's Compound V? She's like,
you know what it is.
You know what it is. Get it for me. And so he's kind of pissed off. Like, I thought we were friends.
Right.
And she kind of realizes, like, she feels bad.
She does.
But she has to play this role. I think she's starting to realize you don't got a lot of friends in this world if this is what you're going to do. So.
Right.
Just that need to know that happened in this episode as well.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I love the scene where Billy comes back. Well, we wind to where Billy comes back. Somebody falls down the steps and they all get defensive. And it's Billy just coming down the steps like.
He's like, I told him. I was with you lot.
With you lot. And yeah, he pretty much says, like you said, daddy's home. You guys obviously couldn't do this without me.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I'm wondering, and like, we don't really know, but like, where was Billy this whole time? Because the last time we saw him was when he was with Becca and Homelander. So it's like, was he not in touch with them? You know, was he being held somewhere with Homelander? We don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the episode, they kind of make it clear that they can communicate
kind
with
of?
Him if they need to.
This was
to.
The one iffy part for me. It made somebody they didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now eventually you can call him at a moment's notice.
Right. But, you know, they're like, Huey's saying, like, we don't need him. Like, we can do this, whatever, blah, blah. So it's like, it's weird because they can communicate with him, but I'm like, why wouldn't they have from the start? I don't know. It's just kind of strange to me. But he makes his grand entrance.
Yeah.
And basically lets him know, like, I'm here to save your asses.
Yep. Daddy's home.
Yeah. So that's the whole episode here. I'm curious to see where things go because, like I said, wasn't like super over the top stuff. There were a couple of moments like the dude getting his arm hacked off. That was pretty crazy.
Rainer's head blown up.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I really like her character.
I did too. I thought she was awesome. She was like kind of badass, you know, especially when she was laying into Madeline.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this bitch had this coming.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call them bitches because I don't know any names individually. Holla if you hear me. But yeah, so the whole situation with her blowing up, that sucked because she was cool. And now it's like, who's gonna be there like in person that they can try and communicate with and whatever. So yeah. That's the whole episode.
Yeah.
Excited to see where things go from here.
Good start.
Good start. Solid start. I'm wondering all of the crazy shit that happened in season one, can they go higher? Can they top themselves?
Maybe.
Clearly they can. So, but yeah, definitely let us know what your thoughts were on this episode. If we haven't already mentioned it, we are going to be watching all the way through to season three and Gen V, which would put us pretty much in time for season four coming out in June.
To watch along with all of you.
Absolutely. All right, folks, so we're going to wrap things up here. Listen out for us. We're going to be uploading this episode ASAP, and stay tuned for more.
Peace.